What does the Bible say about baptism? Inspired by our series on the lines of hypocrisy of Christianity, we're going to embark on another theme series, and we will speak about what does the Bible really say about baptism.
Nobody really want fuego. Messiah will bring fire down worse than Waco. Buy you some coffee and Lego. Your egos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mayo. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo. But the Messiah ain't playing no wiggles. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Event with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or marry the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go. For all the wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinity Tobago, I'm spitting these words so our Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it? Cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath. Or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. From the one that's super dead. Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 Brother, you don't want that fuego.
You don't want that fuego.
Hey.
Fuego.
Fuego.
Nah,
so you don't want that fuego.
Nah,
hey,
fuego.
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 Nobody really want fuego.
Nah,
nobody really want fuego.
Fuego.
From the one that's super negro.
You don't want that fuego when destruction comes.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I'm Captain Yahshua, along with
Officer Mariah. Shalom.
And Mariah.
Officer Nehemiah. Excuse me.
And Mariah got his color back.
I know, right? I was thinking about Officer Mariah. My fault.
Bro, you got stage fright? Relax, brother.
My bad.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, Officer Mariah. Shalom, Soldier Isaac.
Okay. All right. All praises. Damn, bro. Brother had me nervous.
I know, right?
Said, oh, Officer Amariah.
Stole his identity.
Oh, man. Damn. You did an Esau on him.
I know, right?
Oh, snap. Okay. Shabbat shalom. Most High Christ bless to everybody out there. This week's episode, we will be speaking about what does the Bible say about baptism. You know, we were going over the Lies and Hypocrisy series, which we will continue to do. It's just, you know, Christianity, I mean, with it goes to show you, like, with all their denominations, it's kind of all the same stuff.
Yep.
Right? It's just that they do these little nuanced differences to try to make it seem like it's something else, and it's really all the same crap. So I was getting a little bored doing that. I need a little break from that. We're going to go back to it because there's some that are, like, real, you know, there's things in there that are, you know, real kind of egregious against the scriptures. But in doing that, I thought about, hey, you know, I got this book that I bought years ago when I first started to repent. And it's basically called What Does the Bible Say About? And it's kind of like a concordance, except it's a concordance on topic instead of by word.
Right.
So like a regular concordance, it just has like various type of typical words that you would look up to remember a scripture. And I like this one because it gives you a little stimulation on topics, right? It groups a bunch of scriptures by topic.
Mm-hmm.
And as Officer Nehemiah, Amariah, said, he was reading the back of the book, and he says he noticed that it says, oh, an unbiased view on what does the Bible say about this. And I started laughing. I said, you know, actually, it's pretty accurate because the book actually has no commentary. It's just a listing of topics and scriptures that mention that topic. So it really leaves it up to the individual to go ahead and read the scripture and discern and everything like that, which is great because, you know, you don't want to be polluted with suggestions on different things.
Right.
So I like to use that sometimes as just kind of a stimulator and like a class starter. I'll use it in, you know, scriptures that aren't even in that list will start to pop in my head as you go precept upon precept, right? So I said, you know, this would be a great topic, like a series to do in addition to what we're doing with the one about the religions and the different denominations of Christianity. and actually get to, rather than speak so much about the bunking, even though that'll always kind of be a thing because the Bible's been presented in a way for thousands of years to our people that isn't correct. I said this would be a good way to touch on different topics that, mm-hmm. that maybe new people. I know a lot of times we go into, you know, I would like to jump back to identity because, you know, this is the history show, right? So I would like to jump back to that at some point. There's just so much ground to cover. And, you know, it's a once-a-week show, so it gets a little challenging to do so. But I would like to jump back to that and think about people who coming in and don't know. I would even think that there's probably people in our current congregations who their questions haven't been fully answered about right. certain aspects of those things, you know, especially people who spend a lifetime in these right. denominations and stuff like that. So, like, even for today's class, I'll probably just – kind of go over the baptism stuff again, right, you know, right. just, you know, touch on it briefly.
It's still strongholds. You're just still pulling down the strongholds that are people
that's
are
exactly
out.
What it
people
is.
Are
see, that, that's a beautiful term because that term is in the Bible, right. the strongholds of our people, right? Casting down imaginations exactly. and every stronghold. And these are strongholds that, you know, you may have people amongst us who are in their walk of repentance. They're repenting and there's still different things in their mind that, mm-hmm. that haven't been satisfied yet with answers. And that's one thing that you'll notice very different from, you know, all these different denominations versus what you're going to get when you start learning your true history, according to the Bible as an Israelite, is that we're going to give you answers to questions. We're not going to tell you, God has to reveal that. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're not going to try to take you out, outside the Bible for you to get a certain level of understanding. We will use reference material. But the understanding, in a sense, still has to come from the scripture because right. it's the Lord that gives that understanding,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's something that we need to understand. And I want to say something about that statement again, but before I jump back on that, do a little housekeeping. For any more type of classes, studies, we have classes, you know, available, whether it's streaming or live, pretty much almost 24/7 through all our different avenues. You can find all that information on IsraelUnite.org. That's IsraelUnite.org. And also for Israelite apparel, music, you need Bibles, apocryphers, you want posters, artwork, whatever it might be, you know, about your true heritage, go to OriginalRoyalty.com, OriginalRoyalty.com. Also, if you'd like to call in to comment or questions, 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797. I'm going to go ahead and post some links. Officer, if you would go ahead and maybe just, you know, you could discuss a little bit, you know, kind of where we might be going with this, if you have any insight into the baptism.
Yeah, yeah.
Even from your own experiences, because yeah. you came from
a
heavy
right.
Christian church, right? You were the lead drummer. In
right. Most definitely.
Go ahead and talk about that a little bit while I set this up.
Most definitely. Me coming into the truth, man, heavy in Christianity, and the topic that the captain's going to bring out, spot on. I was a stronghold of myself and other individuals, other brothers that I came in with. They used to say in Christianity that you had to get baptized to actually get the kingdom of heaven. And when you actually examine Christianity, it's crazy. We're about to go into the baptism piece. The baptism is actually the keeping of God's laws. It's you being washed and being cleansed by the word of God. So it really goes against Christianity in itself. If they're telling you got to get the kingdom, but you don't got to keep no laws, that doesn't make any sense. So that's just some of the things that Christianity comes with and the confusion they come with. So that's like the captain was bringing out, talking about pulling down the strongholds. That's what we're going to do today, pull down the strongholds of Christianity.
Hey, were you baptized?
I actually did. I got baptized like 2 or 3 times because I was like, I need to do this thing 3 times, man, because they saying I ain't going to get the kingdom. Let me get dipped. I got dipped when I was a baby, man, grown up, teenager. Crazy, confusion.
Yeah, man, that's wild. Hey, what about you, Soldier Isaac? You got any experience with? Were you in the Christian church before you started to repent? Or
nah, I was not in the Christian church.
Wait, you have friends that ever tempted you to be baptized? And I'm talking about, listen, mm-hmm. baptism in the real definition, which exactly. what we're going to bring out today, is necessary yep. for your salvation.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
But like the scripture says, and we'll bring it out, it's not the washing of the flesh. Mm-hmm. That's not baptism. Yeah. All right, that's not baptism. So did you have anybody that
No, the most they would do is they would tell me to come to their church to hang out and stuff. We just hang out there, be playing games and all that, but no talk to baptism. Well, my mom tried to get me and my brother baptized.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but it was just talk. Like she was every other year, like, oh, we gonna get y'all baptized. We were just happy to be dipped in water.
She said we were just happy to be dipped in water.
Yeah.
So never gave the reasons behind like why you was gonna get baptized.
I'm trying to share these links here. That's funny, man. And then, you know, of course, there's different levels of the baptism. You know, you'll have people that'll, you know, it's like partial. Then you have some that say, no, it has to be full immersion. Some say it has to be in a river. It can't be like in a basin or whatever.
Actually, to speak on the river thing, I remember being at my cousin's baptism one time. And she's like wearing a white robe coming out of like a park river or something.
Oh, well, you just happened to be like walking by and you saw her coming out?
No, it was like we was all gathered there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I remember it vaguely, though.
Did you feel like you missed out on something?
I was like, I want to do that.
Hey, Shalom, Captain Zeph. He over there in San Antonio with a lot of the brother support. I'm not going to say just Northern Kingdom because I just see some Southern Kingdom supporting the Northern Kingdom efforts. But we mobilized a bunch of Northern Kingdom brothers to go down to San Antonio and teach at Fiesta. And, you know, it's like it's just like a public kind of outing type of thing. But it's an opportunity where you have a bunch of our people. The scripture tells you get thee to them of the captivity
right. And
also go to the chief places. So, you know, there's a lot of foot traffic there. So it's funny. The brother's like, you know, now he's over there in Fiesta mode. So right. He's only typing and texting in Spanish now. And, So, you know, he said, Feliz Sábado.
Hey, all praises.
He put the little rhino. He's Simeon, but he's representing with the rhino.
Hey, all praises. All praises
for that, you know. So, you know, and it's good. It's powerful to see that our people out there mobilizing. I'm seeing people breaking ground. I'm looking at the stuff online. And, you know, I know Bishop Kanai often talks about it's really like the Acts of the Apostles all over again.
Right.
And it's kind of true. You see us breaking ground in a lot of places, and we're out there bringing out this gospel, and, you know, we're growing, and you're seeing people out there teaching and bringing out the scriptures. You know, for a lot of places, sometimes the first time, sometimes the first time in thousands of years. I remember years ago, Jan went on, like, a school trip to Rome, man, and he was, like, teaching out in the streets in Rome, and I was like, wow, that's probably, like, the first time in thousands of years that the real gospel has been preached, you know, kind of there and stuff like that. All praises for that. So, baptism. What does the Bible say about baptism? Where do I begin? Well, we've kind of established. Well, let me start with the definitions, right? Because I think that's the best way. So you look up a definition here, and it says in the Christian church. You understand? So it's a Christian, and I don't mean Christian thing. And listen, we are followers of Christ. Here at Israel United in Christ. Israelites are followers of Christ.
That's right.
All right? That's the king, okay? So to be a Christian, yes, we are Christians, all right? Just not the way you define Christians or the world at large or society defines Christians, right? And it says, in the Christian church, the religious rite of sprinkling water onto a person's forehead, so you have some people that will do it that way, or of immersion in water, and it's symbolizing purification or regeneration and admission to the Christian church. In many denominations, baptism is performed on young children and is accompanied by name giving. So, like, I know Catholicism, you would have like you pick the name of a saint.
Right.
Different denominations will have you do different things. All right. So, I want to deal with that first definition of it. I'll read the other definition because there's many definitions, right, when you read certain things. Here's on dictionary.com. It says a ceremonial immersion in water or application of water as an initiatory rite or sacrament of the Christian church. But I like these last two definitions. It says a trying or purifying experience or initiation. And there's another one here. It says purification of thought and character.
That's the best one.
That is the best one. I like them both together because about, you know, the scripture talks about, you know, prepare thyself for temptation, being tried in the fire and all that stuff like that, right? It says purification of thought and character. And man, there's like so many scriptures floating around in my head. It's like I don't even know where I want to necessarily start. Let me see here. There was one that I was looking at earlier that I want to start. And brothers, by all means, if you got something you want to say, bring it out.
Absolutely. Now, that definition you read about purification, That's another word for cleanse. And right. The Bible uses the word cleanse a lot. So we're going to definitely get into that, bring out some precepts about that. But purification, that's spot on. I like that.
Right. Okay. So I want to start in Matthew. Let's go to chapter 3.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Or Matthew 3 and you want 11?
No, I want to start at 1 because I want to read the history of why people kind of get confused about all this, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll start from there and then we'll move on. And I apologize in advance if I don't get to your comments right away. It's a little hard for me to – I don't usually monitor the feed for questions. I usually have Captain Aparin doing that for me. So I'm multitasking here as I try to bring out the scriptures. All right, so let me see here. Okay. All right, so go ahead and let's start. So we're going to Matthew 3, and let's start at verse 1.
The book of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent.
So in those days came John the Baptist. All right. He was known as that because he was doing something that was very symbolic of what was going to happen under Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hold that. Get Mark 1 and 4. Because the Bible tells you exactly what he was doing and what his intent was. And over the process of time, you know, a lie told often enough becomes the truth. And people just think the dipping in water brings you to Christ. And it does not. All right. So read Mark 1 and 4. I like this. I like the way the Bible defines this and how John got his name as John the Baptist. Go ahead.
The book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance.
He preached the baptism of repentance, right? And when you're reading the definitions, all right, baptism means purification of thought and character. So it's telling you this is something that has to happen in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind. Has nothing to do with the flesh, all right? He preached a baptism of repentance. Go ahead.
For the remission of sins.
Everybody's, oh, water baptism, water baptism, water baptism. It says John taught the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins.
Mm-hmm.
All right. For the remission of sins, meaning the forgiveness of sins, not exactly. To do away with the law. All right. We're going to go into all of that. All right. So I don't understand where the confusion is when it just explained what John's baptism was about.
It's just Christianity. They don't open this Bible and read.
But it's not everybody. Some of them do read.
Mm-hmm.
And it amazes me kind of the willful blindness. I mean, the scripture tells you it's the Lord that shut up their eyes and everything like that. So it took me in my early walk in repentance. It used to frustrate me a mm-hmm. lot. Now it's just kind of. It's less frustrating. It's more acceptance of what it is. And mm-hmm. it's also gratefulness that the Lord allowed me and, you know, those around me that I care about and, you know, all my brothers and sisters in this walk to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a special thing when you can see that,
right.
Understanding that it's the Lord. Because if it's the Lord that put the spirit of sleep on us,
mm-hmm.
then it's only him. That's going to take it off.
Right.
So when you start to see this, you got to realize you've been touched by a miracle.
Right.
And it's been, you've True. Been touched by it. That's why when we tell brothers, it's no coincidence that you stopped here today.
Right.
It's no coincidence that you came here to listen, you know, and not everybody repents right away from those things.
Exactly.
All right. I know brothers and sisters who are mighty men of renown in this truth now with us in IUIC who it took them years of listening
mm-hmm.
before they actually really fully said, okay, I'm in this for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But read this again.
The book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance.
Actually, start at 1.
Okay.
Mark 1 and 1.
Mark 1 and 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. Before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee.
So it's telling you this was prophesied in the prophets, which mm-hmm. means in the Old Testament for those New Testament only Christians. All right. Everything that Christ did, that John did. All right. It was all Christ tells you it was spoken of him
mm-hmm.
in the law and in the prophets. Is it in Luke at the end of Luke that he says that, I believe? Or John, I'm trying to remember. Well, Christ says Moses because he wrote of me.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So he says, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. He's starting to talk about John. All right. Go ahead.
The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight.
So his purpose, all right, was very similar to what the sacrificial law was when you think about it and you understand. It was to prepare us to understand Christ. So the simplicity that's in Christ is only clouded when you're marred and married and attached to the ways of this world. When you try to take the doctrines of this world and put it in a frame of understanding, like, you know, instead of changing your mind, I've said this before, many people try to make the Bible and God and Christ fit their ideals versus changing who they are and their ideals to what the scripture says. This is what it means to be humble and meek. All right. Because you could look at a person and say, well, no, I would say they are a humble person, but humble in what? Not humble in this. If you're of the mind where the Bible has to conform to what you already believe versus saying I need to change my beliefs and what I've been told to truly come to repentance in Christ. All right. Then you're reprobate if you're of that mind. All right. And there's no understanding in you. And that's the sickness. That's the pandemic sickness in amongst our people. And it's called Christianity as a religion. And it's taken and perverted and twisted the word of God. And now that the prophets are here, there's people standing up for the Lord, bringing out this true word. You're starting to see the attacks more. You're starting to see the reviling more. Just like in Christ's times, right? He said we will be hated for his name's sake. And it's a blessing when you partake in that stuff, because that's not happening to these other Christian denominations, all right? These people and these groups that are attacking us are not doing that to Catholicism. They're not doing that, you know, to Jehovah's Witnesses, all right? And not nearly on the scale that they're doing it to us anyway, because there was always sects, right? Even amongst the Pharisees, you had Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, all right? But what you see happening now should be an establishment of your faith more in your walk as an Israelite and returning to your heritage in this. So understand the confusion that's here, all right? That's the first thing that needs to come into alignment for the Lord to open up your understanding in the scriptures, right? So read verse 3 again.
Verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight.
All right. So John's thing was to make his path straight, meaning start to put something in place that would allow people to receive the proper understanding in Christ. All right. And he did this with the symbolism, which even Christianity recognizes by its definition that it's symbolic. All right. So there goes the hypocrisy, how they're taking something that's symbolic and trying to say that the symbolism of that act makes you cleansed. All right. And that's off. And this is why you still have our people in the midst of sin. Okay. And so it says his job was to basically start to open that door a little bit so that people could understand and fully accept what Christ really came for. All right. Hold on a second. I apologize. I should have had this muted. I didn't realize it was like that. Okay, there we go. All right, read verse 4.
Verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins.
All right, so it says John did baptize in the wilderness. He did. And he preached what? The baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Okay, for the remission. Get me the one in Acts where it says that's what Christ was came for as the blessing. Is it 3? So because right, we're reading in Mark where he talks about. Okay, yes, 3:25 is what I want.
Okay, the book of Acts, chapter 3:25. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers. God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed.
And we understand, as you read in the scriptures, you have full understanding. But someone say, see, all the kindreds of the earth. It says in Isaac, right, shall thy seed be called. Meaning it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all right? And when you read Romans 9, it tells you that.
Right.
It filters down to Jacob,
mm-hmm.
okay? So the blessing was Christ for the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
This is the path, all right, that John was making straight for the Israelites to return and embrace and understand Christ. Okay, read verse 26.
Verse 26, unto you first God have raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity.
And unto you first means Judah, all right? Mm-hmm. He's talking about he went to Judah first because the prophecy tells you in the scripture in Zephaniah, okay, the tents of Judah shall be raised first. So that's what he means. Unto you first, I got to come to y'all first because that's the way the Father ordered it out.
Mm-hmm.
Unto you first, but for all Israel, right, having raised up his son, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Go back to Mark and read Mark 1 and 4 again. This was the paths that John was making straight with the symbolism of baptism.
Mark 1 and 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance.
And it's telling you two things. He did baptize. He mm-hmm. did do the ceremonial water dipping. And he also preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins.
Right.
Get me what the definition of sin is? All right? Bring this out so we can understand
exactly
why, what repentance is. All right? Because nobody understands what repentance is.
This is the book of 1 John, chapter 3 and verse 4.
Bring it out.
Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law.
Go ahead.
For sin is the transgression of the law.
So when it tells you that John in Mark 1 and 4 preached a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, then it's amazing how we'll be out and we'll be teaching people. And you say, oh, I'm repenting. Okay, what do you need to repent of? What is sin? And they don't know. Sin is the transgression of the law.
Right.
So the symbolism of being dipped in water alone without the action of keeping the law, and we're going to read later where it says use the law lawfully.
Right.
All right. That is incomplete. You must keep the laws. If you're just doing the dipping in water, it is not complete. And the overstressing of this and making that a doctrine saying you must, all right, is inaccurate and false. And this is why nothing prospers from that. We've said this before jokingly. If you're a homosexual and you get dipped in water,
mm-hmm.
when you get out, if you don't stop being a homosexual, guess what you are? You're just a wet homo, all right? If you're a crackhead and you get dipped in water and you don't put down the crack pipe, guess what? You just are a wet crackhead.
It's no repentance.
It's not repentance.
That's what it's talking about in Mark 1 and 4. It says repentance and remission of sins.
Right. So let's read on. I'm trying to keep – I see that we got a bunch of comments, but I'm not able to really jump on it. Let me see what we got going on here. I can't get it. All right. Anyway, let's continue on. All right. So now go back to where we were in Matthew and 3 and 1.
You got it?
Yeah, the book of Matthew chapter 3 verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying...
He was in the wilderness of Judea, right? Because like we read in Acts, unto you first, unto the Jews first, because the tents of Judah should be raised first. So he started preaching in the wilderness of Judea, just like the prophecy we were reading about in Mark 1. All right, go ahead.
And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
This is the same message Christ was preaching. Notice, it didn't say anything about him dipping the water for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, repent ye. Just like 1 John 3 and 4 shows you that sin is the transgression of the law. All right, read.
For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah.
So Matthew is saying the same thing like Mark, but he's now letting you know you can read about John the Baptist in the book of Isaiah. Go ahead.
Saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
It says make his path straight. Read.
And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey.
And his meat was locusts and what, meaning that's what he lived on in the wilderness, all right? He was trying to keep himself away from the pollutions of the world. All right. And he was fulfilling prophecy because they said, just like he said in Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And notice when you read verse 3, it says, make his path straight, meaning start to open the understanding that you must repent because the kingdom is at hand. The Messiah is coming to give the proper understanding. All right. And start to sow them seeds to mend that olive branch. Mm-hmm. Okay. To graft back in those who were turned away. Read on.
Then went out to him to Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins.
Right? It says confessing their sins. Now, Catholicism will take this and they'll try to put you in the mode of this is why you confess to a priest.
Right.
Okay. The scripture tells you confess your faults one to another.
Right.
All right. And confessing their sins mean they didn't go up to John and before he baptized them talk about, well, you know, I'm a pedophile and, you know, last week I did this. Or, you know, like when you go to Catholic confession, it'll be like, hey, last week I stole some candy from the candy store or whatever. They just acknowledged that they've turned from the Lord, that they were transgressing the laws of the Most High. Okay. And they were saying they're not going to do it again. I brought this out before. You have to realize when Christ absolved anybody of any sins, when he was in his ministry walking the earth, he always said, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. He didn't just say you're forgiven. I love you because you hugged me. All right. As a matter of fact, you don't even read stuff like that.
You don't.
Okay. But when he said, go and sin no more. Read on.
Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
Now, I got to tell you something. One thing I want to point out real quick, right? Because you got some brothers and sisters that get real sensitive about certain things that are being put out and said. John, in addition to Christ, okay, called the Pharisees and Sadducees vipers. Now, you say, well, that's not, he's comparing them to an animal. All right. I'll liken it to today. If you call somebody a jackass, someone's going to get offended by that. Mm-hmm. Right. A jackass is a donkey.
Right.
Okay?
If you call somebody a snake, they're going to get offended.
They're going to get offended right, if you call them a snake. Viper is like a curse word, man. It's a personal attack
right.
against them. And you got brothers and sisters out here, oh, you know, you shouldn't be saying stuff to people that say things. Listen, he said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Because you're not practicing that stuff. You're high on the sacrificial law. You're high on your seat. You're the charity that you should have towards your neighbor is not there, because that was the thing that was lacking with the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The loving your neighbor as yourself was not there. That piece was missing
right.
from them. They were high on everything else in the law. All right. So he said, oh, you have warned you to flee from the wrath to come, you vipers. Go ahead.
Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits, meat for repentance.
He said, bring forth fruits, meat from repentance. Now you would look at this and say, but wait a second, the Pharisees kept the law. They weren't good at keeping the civil law. Mm-hmm. All right. They became in love with their seat, in love with their position.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, much like you see a lot of your so-called Christian leaders today.
Exactly.
All right. And they were not teaching the things that were most needful to the people. And that in and of itself is a lack of charity. All right. They were not going in on those type of things like they should have. All right. And he said, bring forth fruits, meat for repentance. You cannot come here and say that you're going to be baptized and yet you're not doing what the Lord requires of you. All right. Go ahead. Read.
Verse 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham.
So he says, don't go talking about the lineage and that alone is the blessing. That's like people saying, that's the same hypocrisy of
right.
saying just being dipped in water is enough to be saved.
Right.
So they were resting on their laurels talking about, well, but you know, we're from the seed of Abraham. So that means we're saved. Remember, when we just read in Acts about the promise and the blessing was what? For repentance, mm-hmm. all right? For the iniquities, it said. But iniquity is sin, all right? It was to get rid of sins. That's what Christ was here for,
exactly.
all right? Go ahead, read.
And now also the axe is laid unto the root of these trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, and cast into the fire.
He's talking about the cutting off of the two-thirds, that there's going to be two-thirds of our people that need to die. He says, listen, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. And he goes, every tree which bringeth not forth that good fruit is going to be cut down and cast into fire. He's talking about that lake of fire that you read about in Revelations, all right, which is the second death.
Mm-hmm.
All right, read on.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance.
Right? So he didn't say I baptize you with water and you're granted repentance, right? I want to look up the definition of unto because, you know, man, I'm telling you, sometimes you got to look these things up. Something as simple as like when we break down Revelation 1:14 and the words that they use, all right? He says until, till, or to. It also means the word to. So he says, I baptize you unto repentance, to repentance. Read on.
But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
And like I said earlier, when you read Mark, it says when he makes his path straight, I said John's purpose was to just start to begin to open up the understanding.
Exactly.
So he's telling you Christ is going to come and he's going to basically give you that full baptism with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Because why? Those that don't repent, okay, you are going to be cleansed. This earth is going to be cleansed one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And those that don't repent and receive the Holy Ghost, all right, with using the law lawfully, okay, because sin is transgression of the law, all right, the other ones will get baptized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're going to get baptized by fire so that they're not hindering things or hindering the Lord's way anymore. All right? Read on.
Verse 12, whose fan is in his head, in his hand, excuse me, and he will thoroughly purge his floor.
So listen, verse 12, I'm not making up what I'm saying when you read this. He says he will purge his floor. That's the fire piece of the baptism. Christ's baptism, one way or the other, whether it's baptism unto repentance or baptism unto the fire of death and destruction, all right? He goes, there will be purging. Okay, go ahead.
And gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
It's, listen, but how come this stuff ain't coming out in your churches? Where is this in your churches? All right? They're not talking about this part. They're saying get dipped in water and you come up and you feel so great. When we were going over to apostolic, not only do you get dipped in water, now you got to go into a tarrying room and freaking say Jesus, 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 Jesus until the Holy Spirit comes on you.
Yeah. It's no repentance. It's no works behind
it. There's no works behind it.
That's what happens when you talk about heathens.
Hey, and James tells you faith without works is dead.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you ask people what are their works are, they'll come and they'll tell you, oh, just love, just this, just that. But, I mean, this is such a broad, extensive topic. We're not even going to be able to really do it the justice that it deserves. It's something that needs to continually come out, all right, for our people to be edified in what's going on here, okay? So, let's read on. Let's finish this chapter so you can see what's going on.
Verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?
Now, if the water baptism is what saved you, and John, being John the Baptist, had already did this, he told Christ, he goes, no, wait a second. Because John understood, hey, this is just symbolic stuff.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? He was like, you're Christ. I know you're perfect. John understood. So why do you need to be baptized? You don't need to be cleansed of anything.
Exactly.
He said, I need to be baptized by your baptism,
mm-hmm.
by the Holy Ghost. All right? Go ahead, read.
And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him.
You got to understand Christ's mind here, all right? He was saying, listen, I'm doing this. He says, suffer it, all right? And do it so now. All right, because it's symbolic that all of us need to fulfill all righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is real deep here. I'm not going to jump too heavy into it, going into the crucifixion and eventually what was to come. But he's saying, listen, I need you to do this because this is what's going to begin to open up the eyes of everybody else. All right, just suffer it now because it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness, meaning it's that example. It's like when Paul goes into those of us who know that there's no power in idols, but if it offends a brother or sister and idols don't do it, he didn't want people running around saying, well, Christ didn't get baptized.
Right.
Christ didn't get dipped in the water. So you understand what I'm saying? That's what he says. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Okay? So he goes, listen, let's just do it so that we can go ahead and set the pace and the example right. Go ahead, read on.
Verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
I think the problem is that people think that they get dipped in the water and this is supposed to happen to everybody.
Right.
God told you here, this is my beloved Son. All right. He only has one. The other one, yes, we're all his children, but that goes into the adoption of sons.
Right.
But the one son, his only son,
only begotten,
okay,
right?
His only begotten, okay, is Christ. I think people read this part, and many people are expecting that to happen when they get dipped in the water. They're expecting that to be the sky's going to open and a dove's going to come down. And it creates confusion, right? It also creates a false expectation of what repentance is really like, what this walk is really like.
There you go.
Right? And listen, if ever there was hell, this world is it, okay? Even with all its, even with all the ease and the mercy that the Lord gives you. And I think people are so akin to this water baptism. That's why you see people walk around, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed in the blood of Jesus. And you know, the scripture tells you this world is not your rest, all right? It tells you Esau is the end and Jacob is the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the end of this present world is near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, is basically telling you what? If the kingdom of heaven is at hand, then that's a new beginning.
Exactly.
Right? So that means we're in an ending of this. So I don't want to go too far left or right, all right? I might be getting too cerebral, like thinking y'all some guess sometime. We'll be like, y'all all right? You know? y'all all right? But understand that baptism is really kind of a preparation, right? Just like it's telling you that it was to prepare to make the path straight. Why you read, and he says, when John says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand,
mm-hmm.
It's a preparation of what's to come. The baptism doesn't make you ready. It's not your ticket to the kingdom.
No.
All right? There's more that has to happen for that to continue on. All right? I want to get, let me see, confessing their sins, we did that, all right? So we know it pertains to sin. Give me John 4:1. That's what I want to get.
All
right, that's what I want to get. It says we got 20 comments. Hold on a second, but I can't see the. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I can't see the comments.
You want me to go down there?
No. Don't look there. I'm trying to see. Maybe if I click it here. What am I going to say about that? Okay, maybe this will work. Let me see. Okay.
That's just crazy how they don't understand the repentance piece is the purification piece like you read in the definition.
Right.
Yeah, I'm like, they missed that part.
Oh, most of them are Cameron. Well, all praises Cameron for tuning in. Most of them are Cameron. He's giving some extra edification with some scriptures there.
Yeah, all praises.
All right. All praises, brother. All right. Okay. Let's go to
John
4. Yeah. And 1.
Book of John, chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not.
So it's telling you, all right? It says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, okay? And it says, though Jesus himself baptized not. So there's no contradiction here. It's letting you know that Jesus was not running around water baptizing people.
Exactly.
That was a symbolic act, not a necessity. It was a symbolic act.
Right.
Okay. He says, Jesus himself did baptize not, but his disciples baptized, is what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So his disciples were still doing that symbolic piece
mm-hmm.
because why? You don't. It's the same reason he allowed John to baptize him.
Right.
Listen, we don't want to make things more difficult for people. And mm-hmm. if they're going to feel offended by not being dipped in the water, sure. But it can't just be that alone.
Right.
You understand that by what they were preaching. When you read Matthew 5, 17, he tells you, listen, I've not come to do away with the law. I've come to fulfill.
Right.
All right. Not one jot or one tittle. Okay. So it says Jesus baptized not. Before I jump into bringing out what the proper baptism is, where did I want to go? I'm trying to think of where I want to jump to.
Do you want to go to Peter?
You know what? Yeah, let's go to Peter. We'll jump there and start talking about that a little bit. First Peter. Let me see.
21.
I don't know if I want to start there. Wait a. Be not afraid of their terror, not of each other. Eyes of the Lord are over them. Let me see. If you serve and wise and say happy are you, be not afraid of this and be able to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Alright, let's start at 14 and we'll talk about this a little bit. Alright?
Okay. The book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled.
You know, that's such a good scripture for like the times that people come at us mm-hmm. and we're going through different things, all right? Understanding that the law of the Lord is perfect, man. And there's no sin in what we're trying to achieve through the Spirit of the Most High in Christ, all right? I'm not going to reveal too much details, but I'll just tell you this. I've had conversations with let's just say, local leaders or you know, people in the community. And when we explain what we're doing, there's no sin in that. And you know, I had someone recently just this week that I was speaking to that's kind of like a pillar of the community. And she says, we said, listen, we're just out here teaching repentance. We're teaching the gospel. We're teaching our brothers and sisters to come out of gangs, to mm-hmm. come out of violence, to come out of doing harm to each other, to come out of the whoring rays, the adultery, mm-hmm. to get jobs, be responsible fathers, be good, loving wives and mothers, all right? Raise your children right. And I said, and we're doing it for our people. Mm-hmm. She goes, well, that's great. She, you know, of course, she's like, listen, I'm accepting of all religions. She's saying the status quo line.
Right.
And I get that. Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the type of position that she's in. You know, to say anything else, I don't know, it's just the world's so sensitive today. Everybody
right.
wants people to be removed from positions for expressing their opinions. And she says, nobody else is doing it. So it's great that you guys are.
Mm.
She goes, because nobody else is doing that. So, you know, you read verse 14, and it says, when you suffer for righteousness, happy are ye, be not afraid, be not troubled. There's no sin in us teaching one husband, one wife.
Mm-hmm.
The complete family unit and the roles and responsibilities of that, all right? Teaching our children not to lie, not to steal, all right? To show forth a good conscience, to be honest, to love your neighbor as yourself, all right? What's the sin in keeping the true Sabbath? Even if you don't believe it or agree in it, does it harm anybody? Does it inflict anything? Now, yeah, it could be impactful to Esau because you got, you know,
economically,
right? Because, you know, that's their money day and stuff
right.
like that. But as far as any type of evil, what's wrong with that?
Nothing at all.
Right? How come nobody's out there bothering the so-called Jews, the Jewish people, over what they, you know, they teach separatism. They teach, how come they're not called white separatists? All right. They teach separatism. And someone will come and argue and say, well, they allow people to come into their religion. Yeah, but guess what? You're called Goyim and you have a lesser place. You're not equal with them. And there is a place for all nations in God's kingdom. I'm going to go on record and say that there is a place. It's just what that place is.
Right.
And understanding scripturally what that place is. We're not saying other nations are not going to be in the kingdom of heaven. No,
right.
not at all. All of them, even Esau for a time,
yeah.
will be in the kingdom. It's just what's your role? So, you know, this whole, hey, listen, y'all don't fully understand. We're saying that other nations aren't going to be there. Of course they are. All right? You could even say intelligently they will be saved from the hellfire that's going to rain down in thermonuclear destruction.
True.
They will be saved as well. But they serve a very different purpose in the kingdom of heaven than we do. Right? Not saved in the same way that we're saved, but it is a form of salvation. Hey, it's like Dave Chappelle, man, when he was talking about, it makes me think about when he was talking about how the sister rushed the stage when he was talking about the Me Too thing.
Yeah.
Right? And he was like, she was back there. She was like, we suffer. He was like, I know. We suffer. He was like, me too. Yeah. He was like, yes, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, we suffer just like you. He said, wait. Hold on a second
right,
now.
Right.
Hold on a second now. To compare that stuff to what our people have been through and still go through in slavery, in segregation, though it's not legal, it's still there.
Right.
It happens in different ways, okay? The school to prison pipeline, all right? The double standards, okay? On and on, right? Last hired, first fired,
right, all
that stuff, okay? First one to die in the movies, okay?
Right.
Whatever it might be.
Yeah, right.
They trying to change that a little bit.
Yeah.
All right? Excuse me. It's not the same thing, though, okay? It's not the same thing, all right? The scripture tells you our salvation will be from our enemies, from the captivity that we're in, all right? And it also tells you that them that led into captivity must be led into captivity.
Exactly.
Them that killed with the sword must be killed with the sword. That's not us. That's the scripture. That's the scripture. So, you know, again, our message really is not very different for what they're picking on us for than what Judaism is about.
Exactly.
But they have a word for the people that come in and will repent and start wearing yarmulkes and all that stuff.
Mm.
And they're called goyim, which means servants.
Wow. All
right? They're servants, like cattle. That's what they refer to them as, okay? It's like servants. I want to get the exact right definition because people could be like, someone will hang on that instead of the whole message behind it, right?
It's crazy, though, how they...
they put it real nice here. They said a Jewish name for a non-Jew. that's evil as hell. That's not what it means at all,
Jewish
bro.
Name for a non-Jew. Oh, man. A Jewish name? Bro, they even get into the Jewish thing. A Jewish name for a non-Jew?
We know that thing is derogatory.
Oh.
Okay, here we go. See, I got to go to Urban Dictionary for them to keep it real, right?
Yeah.
I got to go there. It says a word used by some Jews to refer to Gentiles, non-Jews. The word can have derogatory connotations, such as the word black when used to refer to a person of African descent. It can be so goyim means nigger when they're talking about our people. It can be neutral or negative depending on the context. They still being nice with it. Listen, you speak to any Amalekite and they'll tell you, bro, that's a derogatory word. That is not a nice term. They're not just saying, they're basically trying to say goyim means difference. That's not true, all right? Damn, I'm glad I looked it up. All right. Goyim means nigga, all right?
It means heathen.
It means wop.
Wop.
Chink, whatever it is. Because if you ain't them, it means a derogatory term, all right, of what they are, okay? Hold on. Okay, I'm not looking at that. Anyway, so understand that. So read verse 14 again. Let me get back on track here.
1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled.
Understand what we do is for righteousness' sake, all right? No brother or sister should waver on anything anybody is saying, so long as you're seeking the remission of sins by keeping the commandments. Go ahead.
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you.
So he says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. So he's telling you, don't let this stuff deter you. But we're going into your hearts is dealing with your mind.
Mm-hmm.
He says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you. Go ahead.
A reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
And you should be able to intelligently articulate why the water baptism is incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
Why that cannot be a doctrine that you have to get dipped in water. We don't run around doing that stuff, all right? Listen, if you want to, nobody's going to forbid you. Go. You read that with the eunuch and Paul. Oh, who's going to forbid you? You want to do that? Okay. Did he jump down and do it for him? No. He said, yo, go ahead. You want to go dip yourself, dip yourself.
It's like you said, Cap. The disciples did it.
Right.
It's the same piece. He
right.
did it.
Go ahead.
Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you.
Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. All right. And then he's saying it also means basically having a good conscience. Go ahead.
That whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ.
Right. So listen, and is the world going to see them and they'll be ashamed to the world? Sometimes, which happened before, people are on our coattails so much that people start to see through the facade and like, wait a second, these people, they'll convince themselves they're on some holy mission or something to try to bring us down. But we are not ashamed of that, and we have a good conscience of it because we understand if God is with us, nobody could be against us.
Right.
So you're really just fighting against the Most High, and you ain't going to win. Nobody's going to win in that outcome, all right? Yeah. That's like, you know, I mean, you got to get that out your head. And so sometimes they'll be ashamed in this world, but the real shame is going to come if they don't get themselves right and repent and stop speaking all that evil, all right? The eternal shame that they're going to have when, like we read with Christ and his baptism, when he burns them up with fire and separates the chaff from the wheat. All right. Read.
Verse 17. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well doing than for evil.
That's another thing. Listen, I'll take the suffering for doing good, knowing that the law of the Lord is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sin in what we're doing at all. Despite what the world says, despite the weirdness that your friends and family say, oh, you don't come to these gatherings no more. You don't celebrate these worldly holidays no more. Listen, if that's the worst thing you can say about me, then all praises to the Most High in Christ. All right? Because you can say nothing about my character. You can't say anything about a hateful spirit. I'm the least hateful brother you meet.
Mm-hmm.
I just know what the Lord has in store and what his program is, and I'm going to follow that roadmap. Okay, read.
Verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
Hey, so he's telling you, it's very symbolic of what Christ did.
Mm-hmm.
All right? He's telling you, remember, Christ also suffered, right? The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, right? Go ahead, read.
By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water.
Right? So he's giving you symbolism now. He's giving you symbolism. All right? Everybody's talking about dipping your body in water. You have to understand the water is symbolic of starting new, right? Of it's part of the renewing of your mind and of your spirit. And he says, once upon a time, remember, he cleansed the whole earth with water. But eight souls were saved. But guess what? Water didn't touch them. Water didn't touch the ones that were saved, all right? So he's not talking about water being the thing that washes you and brings you to Christ. Okay, read on.
Verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doeth also.
I'm not making this up. The next verse tells you. He used Noah as the example when he says the like figure, meaning just like, whereunto even baptism does also now save us. But exactly what I said, he's going to explain biblically. Read.
Baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the flesh.
Because the water didn't touch the ones, the eight souls that were saved in the ark.
Right.
He says not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Being dunked in water, go ahead.
But the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
By the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what? That Christ came to bring those back into fold and teach you how to keep that whole law. Because the Pharisees were not doing what they were supposed to do.
Exactly.
They were not doing it right. His sacrifice, when you read, I did a class on the way, the truth, the life of Christ.
Uh-huh.
All right. His sacrifice was that once and for all sacrifice for us, not to sin, all right, but to return fully to the law and have a good conscience in doing so, because there's no sin in loving your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sin in thou shalt not steal. There's no sin in have no other gods. before me. There's no sin in keeping the Sabbath day holy, in keeping the things that the Lord said to eat and not eat, in wearing fringes, and all the things that we're out there preaching. There's no sin in any of that. So you should have a good conscience in doing those things. Don't let anybody make you think that what you're doing for the Lord and for your salvation and your families and the future generations to come is evil. All right? I forgot what Asaph's term is when with the thing cult, but it's something about cutting out lust or whatever. Yeah. But it's good. It's a good acronym that they came up with. Mm-hmm. All right? So it says not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Okay? Get me Jeremiah 2:22. Jeremiah 2:22, and while you get that, I want to make sure if I want to use this or not. Go ahead.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 22. For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me.
Right. So it's telling you iniquity means sin. Mm-hmm. So though you physically try to wash yourself, okay, and nitre, you could use ceremonial stuff, whatever it is, he goes, yet your sin is still before you because you've done nothing about that.
Right.
Water baptism alone is incomplete, all right? And the water part is not necessary at all because the water didn't touch Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives, all right? It did not. Understand that. Read Isaiah 1:16. This is the commandment. This is what baptism really is. Got to go back to my definition over here.
Yep.
The good one here, right? Not the ceremonial crap.
The book
all
of
right? Purification of thought and character.
I like that.
Is the baptism. That's what the Bible says about baptism. It's the purification of thought and character. Putting on the new man, the hidden man of the heart, which is Christ. Putting that on as the example. He came to be the perfect example because there wasn't an example that was perfect like him before. Go ahead.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 16. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from.
Oh, there's the definition of it biblically. Wash you and make you clean means put away the evil. Go ahead.
Of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil.
Sin no more. Sin no more. Mm-hmm. That's what it's going into. Get me John 15:3. Mm-hmm. Actually, start at 1. Do 1 through 3.
The book of John, chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
Listen, we read in Matthew when he was talking about the fire and the purging, all right? The baptism, the physical submission of putting yourself in water, through Christ, that's not happening. And it didn't happen.
Right.
That's why he says he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And like I said earlier, the fire is for those that will refuse to do the Lord's will. Those are the ones that will get purged up. Just like in Noah's time, the ones that were outside the ark, those are the ones, they got baptized by water.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They got baptized by water.
He did. True.
But to destruction. Mm-hmm. All right? So he says, listen, in Matthew, he talks about the axe hewing and mm-hmm. being thrown away. All right? Here he's saying, hey, some fruit, some bear fruit, and the other one they purgeth that it may bring forth fruit. Why? Because sometimes with plants and trees, they call it pruning. That's the nice way to say it. All right? The Lord has to do some pruning, mm-hmm. okay, so that those that are made manifest may come forth. Just like when you say that he says there must be heresies, they must be this to show
exactly.
those who are basically for the truth, who are for the Most High, that has to happen. He says that before the end comes, there has to be a falling away.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, when people leave or whatever and this, that, and the other, you can say, think whatever you want. Bye.
Right.
All right? We ain't gonna, listen, and I'm talking about the people that just, that they will not be reproved, that they will not understand judgment. Because
repent.
There's people, man, who you've been here, you have a good report, you're not going out. We're gonna inquire. Bro, why are you bugging out? Why you want to leave? What's really the issue?
Mm-hmm.
All right? And I'm going to tell you something. Every single time, the real issue is sin. The real issue, every time that I've been privy to, let me not try to speak blanket because someone say, well, how do you know everything? But I'm going to tell you something. You ask anybody who's been privy to anything of anybody leaving, every single time it entails sin. Mm-hmm. You didn't escape from nothing. You escaped from righteousness, right? You escaped. Listen, I remember one time I was talking about, I was looking at the definition, the meaning of a jack-o'-lantern, right? It's supposed to keep away evil spirits. Mm-hmm. And there was a brother, he's not with us no more, but he made me crack up when he was saying it. He goes, so it's supposed to be to keep these certain evil spirits away. He's like, yeah, what they're really doing is keeping the Most High away with that stuff, right? So what you really escaped from was the Most High's will. You said, I don't want God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the God of the Bible anyway. I want the God of this world. I want the God the way he's preached here that says that I can continue to do the things that are fulfill my lust and desires. And mind you, lust doesn't always mean sexual, all mm-hmm. right? Some will be like, oh, I'm not saying it. I'm not saying anything about, but it covers a breadth of sin. And it goes back to what I said. You try to go ahead and conform the Bible to what you want, mm-hmm. what you like, what you've established as your standards of your values, instead of changing your values to align with what the scripture says. That's true baptism. That's true repentance. That's really being born again.
Mm-hmm.
You ask people to explain born again, and well, the answers they give you don't make sense. Don't make sense. Christ tells you, listen, see, that's the second part of really baptism, which is why I say it'll be hard to encompass in just this show.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard for me to, even as I talk about it today for the congregation, it's not going to be a full class. Like, there's so much more that you could go into it because yes, you have layers.
Mm-hmm.
Baptism also goes with the understanding of being born again. And there, and because that's the other thing you hear sometimes,
right.
The association of being dipped in water is being born again. But you don't really understand what that is. That goes back to what I said earlier, and I know we laugh about it, but you get dunked and you're still doing homo things. The Bible tells you not to be a homo. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the government allows
right.
as far as same-sex marriage. God says it's a sin. So you want to go ahead and continue to do those things, and then do you know that's like vomit to the Most High?
It's abomination.
Not only are you a mo, but then you're in church, in your mind, praising his name. After you just,
and these preachers letting them do it, saying, come as you are.
Come as you are.
Oh, my goodness.
That's abomination. The Lord tells you it's abomination. I'm not making it up. When you read the law on it, he says it's abomination. The only way that I've ever really been able to convey in common speak, in layman's terms to people, is the way you nobody likes vomit. Nobody likes vomit, right? The smell of it. Whatever, like you know it instantly.
Mm-hmm.
It's offensive to your nostrils.
Right.
It's offensive to your body. That's the best way that I can, and it's probably not even to the extent of how the Lord feels it. That's the best way I can, for maybe our minds,
right.
and I say our small minds compared to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
all right, can understand something like that. Because it's not like you think about it, vomit is nasty, all right? I'm not even going to say poop, because poop is kind of, it's a common thing, right? It's unnatural for something to come up this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's normal for it to go out that way.
Right.
It's unnatural for it to come out the other way.
Right.
Right? Not to mention just the experience of going through vomit. Bro,
yeah.
I can't stand it. The spasms, you're locked, it's incontrollable.
Yeah.
No! Right? That's how the Lord sees abomination. All right? So people out here talking about, I escaped this, I left that. No, man, it was sin. And it's always sin. And what you really escaped was repentance and baptism
mm-hmm.
and cleansing, because you wanted to continue on in your own wicked ways. All right? Read verse 3 here, 15 and 3.
Verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
Now ye are clean through the word.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now you are clean. We read in Jeremiah, he says, hey, listen. Wash yourself all you want. Your iniquity is still in front of you. You read in Isaiah 1:16. He said, the washing, the cleansing, all right, is turning away from sin, okay? Going back to the definition that
right.
I got here,
go.
All right, it's purification of thought and character. Of thought and character. You got something you want to bring out?
Oh,
soldier?
Yeah.
Go ahead, bring it out. What do you got?
Ephesians 5:26.
Go ahead.
Hey,
good. Praises.
That he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
With the washing of water by the word. With the washing of water. But you read in John 4, he says, the living water that comes out of me.
Uh-huh.
It's all symbolic. It's all symbolic. All right. Let's go back to where we were in Peter's, because I want to address the good conscience real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Before I jump to where I want to go to my my other closing scriptures. All right. So we got 1 Peter's
3:21.
Yeah.
3:21. Okay. The like figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh.
He's telling you baptism is not the physical act of dipping in the water. All right, go ahead.
But the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
He's saying that it came to you through that,
mm-hmm.
through Christ's sacrifice, that proper understanding. So let's get the definition for good conscience, right? Let's get Romans 7 and 12 is what we want.
Mm-hmm. The book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good.
The commandment and the law is what's good. A good conscience is your mind after the law. I will read the definition of baptism again. Purification of thought and character. All right? Purification of thought and character. Okay? Read verse Romans 7 and 7, because I always like bringing this one out.
The book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet.
The law is that so-called proverbial moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you need to measure your actions against. Because that comes from God. Anything else, bro, look at it. God tells you, don't lay down with a man,
mm-hmm.
like with womankind, and likewise that goes for women as well, because you read
right.
in Romans when he talks about
men with women.
All right, using the natural use, because he designed it that way. What? Because what's supposed to come of that is children.
Right.
What you get with homosexuality is not. You just get lust. I was reading something about pansexual today, and they're like, it basically means bisexual but plus. Bisexual plus. What the frick are they saying?
Right.
Bro, such confusion. Bisexual plus means supposedly pansexual encompasses that all races. Like, so there's not even a particular type. Like basically it's not gender-based. Bisexual would mean you like male and female. Pansexual means you just want to screw people.
What?
That's what it means. That's what they said.
Lascivious.
That's exactly what it is.
Bruh.
That's exactly what it is. How is that equated to love? They fought and they told you we want to get married because it's equated to love. How is that equated to love?
Bruh, not at all.
That's
lust.
That has nothing to do with it. That's lust.
That's crafty counsel.
Bro, it is crafty counsel. It is crafty counsel.
Yeah,
but I'm telling you, spiritual power in high places, spiritual
right.
wickedness in high places, principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness
mm-hmm.
in high places.
Right.
Listen, there's no change that we can affect on that. The only thing we continue to do is stand for the Lord
mm-hmm.
and show him, hey, sin is the transgression of the law. And the law showed that the law is not evil, like all these Christian groups will try to make you believe.
The Bible's using the words, the law is good. The
right.
law is holy. The law is
I give
perfect.
You,
right.
I give you good doctrine.
Read 7:14. Yeah, you could bring that. You could bring out I give you good doctrine in a second. Read Romans 7:14 real quick.
The book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin.
It goes back to Proverbs. And, you know, Cameron on the feed posted it. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. All right. But the ways thereof are the ways of death.
Yeah,
there's a way that seem right unto man.
Yeah.
Is it
Proverbs 14:12?
14:12. I'll read it. It says, there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It says, the law is what's spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Your own mind is going to justify things based on the pollutions of this world.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It's telling you to end there over the ways of death. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but it's the Lord that weigheth the spirits.
Mm.
You must use the law as the moral compass, because we are carnal, sold under sin.
Mm.
So if you baptize yourself by your definition, which is a ceremonial immersion in water or the application of water, all it is an initiatory rite.
Mm.
That's what the scripture says. It's an initiation act, not repentance. It's an initiatory act, That's like when you're a pledge and you go to your sorority or fraternity, mm-hmm. whatever it might be. When you join the military and you take that oath.
That's right. That's right.
If you take the oath and you never actually go ahead and do the things to defend the Constitution, all you've done is an initiatory act. It's the same thing with your warped perception of water baptism.
Right.
If you dip in water and you never do the things that are required of you of the Lord, then you are not repented. You are not repenting. Get me, where was the one that I was talking about earlier?
Oh, the First Timothy?
That's it.
First Timothy 1.
Make sure there's not nothing else I want. Actually, give me 1 Corinthians 1:17 before you do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see even Paul didn't baptize.
The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them.
1:17.
For Christ's sake.
1 Corinthians 1:17.
I got you. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize.
Christ didn't send Paul to baptize. He sent him not to baptize, but what?
But to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect.
He said, listen, I couldn't come and just be all words, be all talk, be too deep for you, because then the cross of Christ would be made of none effect. Mm-hmm. All right? I got a little thing here where it says words, speech. All right, because it tells you that Paul, Peter warns you that Paul's real deep, and that if you're not rooted up, you could get confused. As much as Paul tried to simplify things for us, all right, this is why he spoke a lot in similitudes. Mm-hmm. He tried to give different examples of things to give you understanding of that. So that's why I always talk about Romans 7. That's a very hard book if you're not rooted mm-hmm. in the full understanding of the scriptures. All right, it's challenging. Okay, so Paul didn't baptize either. Now let's go to Timothy's. We got 1 Timothy 1, and let's start at 4.
Okay. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. Neither give heed to fables. And
it says, don't give heed to fables. All right? Actually, start at 3, because it's the part about no other doctrine mm-hmm. that really pulls it all in. Go ahead.
Verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine.
All right, because that stuff starts to pop up. Mm-hmm. You get confusion with the, even I've seen it in Israel, confusion with the water baptism. Go ahead.
Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies.
Fables, the lies about just being dipped in water, the initiatory rite, the symbolic rite, versus the purification of your thought and character. Go ahead.
Which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do
all that stuff that minister questions versus edifying. All right. Is confusion. Mm-hmm. All right. Read on.
Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned.
And we understand that. Don't have that fake faith. He says faith unfeigned, because feigned faith is faith without works.
Right.
All right. James calls it faith without works. Mm-hmm. Paul, being eloquent like he is, says faith unfeigned. All right, meaning faith with works. So feigned faith is there's no works, because James said what? I'll show you my faith by my works. Uh-huh. By my works, I'll show you my faith. And we understand the pure heart and good conscience, based on what we read in Romans 7, is dealing with the law. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain gaggling.
Jangling. Yours says gaggling?
No, that's me.
Jangling. Hey, I'm curious as to what that means, bro. Jangling. I got to look that up.
Yeah.
Jangle. To produce a harsh or discordant sound. Okay. To cause to make harsh. To cause to become irritated or upset. So he says they've gone up to vain jangling. So all their talk about all their stuff is like, it's a nasty sound. It says hollow pieces of metal hitting together.
Yeah.
All right? There's empty vessels, bro. Mm. Those are lamps without oil. Damn. Read on.
Desiring to be teachers of the law.
Desiring to try to teach you something. Telling you that, hey, what they're doing is wrong, but they can't really tell you what is right.
Right.
Go ahead.
Understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm.
You can see some of these people, bro. They're confused. They don't know what they're doing. They resort to the lowest form of mockery, or what they say is really flattery, the lowest form of flattery, right? anyway, And they start doing mocking things, trivial things, to try to come at us. Listen, that goes to show you that you can't stand and rest on the doctrine, because what you're doing in that is not enough.
Right.
So you have to resort to other type of tactics.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. There is a God. There is a God. It might be annoying, right? We are yet carnal, so in a carnal sense, we might get annoyed by
exactly.
it. Exactly. All right? But there is a God. Go ahead, read.
It's jangling.
It's jangling.
But we know that the law is good. If a man use it lawfully.
Right. We know that the law is good. And the reason he has to go out of his way to say if a man use it lawfully is because the Pharisees and such were not using it lawfully.
Exactly.
They were using it to rule over the flock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he says, we know that the law is good. We read that. I told you that in the book of Romans 7.
Mm-hmm.
I've told you that multiple times in the scriptures. We know that the law is good if used lawfully. Read on.
Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless.
The law is not for people who are already righteous. But it's for the lawless. So going with the rationale, if you get baptized to be born again, to bring yourself to Christ and the Most High, okay, it's telling you that the law is what gets you there,
mm-hmm.
all right? So the law is not made for a righteous man, but for who?
For the lawless, disobedient, for the ungodly, and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons.
You can repent of being homosexual, right? When it says them that defile themselves with mankind, you can repent of that. Go ahead.
And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound.
He says basic, because listen, if I keep going on, there's so much that I could list. He goes, listen, there's too many. But if there be any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine,
mm-hmm.
and we understand that the good doctrine is the laws, all right? So he's telling you, listen, this stuff's already written. If there be any other thing that's contrary to that stuff, okay, go ahead.
Contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust.
So he's telling you, keeping the law is the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You're just keeping it in the faith of Christ, all right? And what's the faith of Christ? Luke 1:68, where he says, hey, he will come back and redeem you if you do these things.
Exactly.
You do not have to continue on in this. All right. He will redeem you. Give me Isaiah 64:6.
Book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verse 6.
And this goes with verse 9 mm-hmm. in 1 Timothy. All right, go ahead.
But we are all as an unclean thing.
We are all as an unclean thing. Go ahead.
And all our righteousness are as filthy rags.
Your perceived righteousness, because it's not measured against the law. It's based on your own understanding, because you dip yourself in water and you're not born again. He says, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Go ahead.
And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquity
and our sin,
like the wind, have taken us away.
This is how you know, when I made the statement earlier, that anybody who leaves or says they escape, what they did was their sin carried them away from what was good, what was sound doctrine,
mm-hmm.
what was right and just.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to repent and get yourself back on the right track. You're mixed up in madness, all right? Freaking beady eyes, looking all crazy. I'm telling you, almost everybody. But when they get to that point where they're frustrated because they realize that their hands are too short to box with God, all right, they start to get this weird look in their eyes, man. Like they start to look really psychotic, man. It's bro, it's intense, man. It's intense. What was the one we were talking about earlier about a young man cleansing his ways?
Psalms 119.
Yeah, go ahead, get that.
The book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word.
Right. Okay, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to your word, by keeping the commandments. By keeping the commandments. You got anything you want to bring up? We got a few minutes going on here. I know I told y'all jump in, man, but...
No, He was going in. God, hey.
We got 6 minutes left, man.
Godly edifying going on.
I know, but you know, I don't want to feel like y'all can't.
No, that's
sometimes y'all, you know.
No, that's the same thing that was coming out.
Everybody got things of value to bring into.
Nah.
Damn, I'm losing my thought. There was something I was going to look for just now. I can't remember. Can't talk. Say something.
No. Just going into that Psalms 119:9. It's going to the same thing that that John was saying, John 15:3, about cleansing your ways, being clean, being purified. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? It's the same thing. So the same thing King David was saying is the same thing that was happening at Christ's time. It's literally the exact same thing. It's just repentance from your sins. That's what a lot of people don't understand.
Right, right. Give me Ephesians 5 and 1.
You got it.
You said 5 and 1?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children.
Go ahead.
And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us.
Hey, so people will stop and say walk in love, but you have to understand how did Christ love us, right? He always taught. He showed his love by correcting and teaching. Go ahead.
And hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor.
Read on.
But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints.
Continue.
Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks.
Go ahead.
For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean persons nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God.
Now he's being very specific here, because this is the stuff that was affecting the Ephesians in Ephesus. All right.
Right.
But how does Christianity explain that away? If they just talk about, what does it say? Water baptism. It's saying don't do these things. It says you have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God if you partake of these specific sins. All right. When you read verse 11, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Our job is not to just be, you're supposed to go out and make the different corrections. All right. That's what walking in repentance is all about. There's another one. Hold on. There's another one that I wanted.
That one spoke of love in the beginning. So if you're doing that stuff, you don't have any love.
Right. Exactly. Good point. That's the, I didn't want to lose that point there. Give me 1 John 2 and 3. Actually, start at 1.
The book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
So he's telling you, right, when you read 1 John 1, I think it's 17, where he says grace and truth came by Christ.
Right.
All right. He's telling you that you have grace because of Christ if you do sin. Mm-hmm. All right. Go ahead. But he's telling you don't. Read on.
And he is the prohibition for our sins.
Propitiation.
Propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
And everybody wants to take that and mean, oh, it's the whole world. We're talking about all the other nations. Listen, that's not what this class is about today.
Right.
But we've gone over that like ad nauseum.
Right.
All right. What it is. OK. And that's dealing with the rest of the scattered Israelites. All right. Go ahead.
And
that goes back to what we read in Acts and the blessing. Right. All right. How all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in thy seed, meaning what? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, mm-hmm. and then Jacob's sons. Go ahead.
And hereby we do know that we know
him. This is how we know that we know Christ.
If we keep his commandments.
If. It's a conditional thing. Mm-hmm. It's a covenant relationship, meaning there's stuff required on both ends. It says, if we keep his commandments. Go ahead.
He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him.
If you say that you know him and you don't keep his commandments, you're a liar. So all you liars need to shuff up, all right? Because
that's right.
You out there talking all types of nonsense, okay? And you ain't keeping no commandments. Read verse 6 real quick, and then we'll start to wrap.
Verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked.
If you say you abide in him, walk as Christ walked. Learn how he really walked, all right? Read verse 7.
Verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning.
It was all there from the beginning. Christ didn't come and change anything, but fulfilled what was already prophesied. It's not that hard, because that's one of the biggest words you hear from all these people who are uneducated in the scriptures. I mean, come on, man. You gotta. You're going to a seminary or to a theology program in a college that's set up by. And you think you have some level of understanding? Get out of here with that stuff. Anyway, we've about 20 seconds left. Lord's will, we'll do more different things like this. We'll also jump back on the lies and hypocrisy of Christianity. Okay. Did it say that? I think it cut me early. I think it did. Damn. They didn't want me to give the sign off. Anyway, for those of you online, I'm telling you, we always having some sort of freaking technical difficulty, man. I pray nobody out there freaking cut something, setting something up. I know me out there.